This week we're going to do Daf Memhei. We're skipping these 20 blocks from Chaf Hei to Memhei because in Shir, I hope to cover, we're already holding in Shir Baruch Hashem and Lamed Chesem and Beis. So I hope to cover by the end of the year through Daf Memhei in Shir, and then hopefully, everyone should make a real serious effort to finish the Masechta. So we're holding Memhei Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. That's where we're going to start, at the Mishnah on the top, fourth line of the page. We're not going to just start in the middle of a sentence. We're going to start at the Mishnah. Mitzvah Sarava Ketzad. How would they do the Mitzvah of Arava in the Beis HaMikdash? So there is a description of some Mitzvah called the Mitzvah of Arava. So what did they do exactly? Makom HaYilamatim Yerushalayim V'nikra Motza. There was a place under Yerushalayim that was called Motza. The Gemara will explain why it was called Motza. Yardin L'Sham, they would go down to there, meaning it was at a lower elevation, I assume is what it means, than Yerushalayim was, not that it was literally underground, right? And it was called Motza, and they would go down to there, Umalaktin Misham Murbiyos Shal Arava, and they would pick from there bunches of Aravos, they would pick these long Arava branches, and they would then come and lean them up, stand them up along the side of the Mizbeach. This was the mitzvah. This is what they would do. Klal Yisrael as a whole would make sure that there were aravos from this place called Motza standing up along the side of the Mizbeach. V'rasheim kfufin al gabei Mizbeach, and the tops of the aravos were leaning over on top of the Mizbeach. Taku v'ri v'taku, and they blew tkiya tru tkiya. That was the mitzvah. And every single day they would walk around the Mizbeach one time, meaning every day of Sukkot they would walk around the Mizbeach one time, and they would say, Ana Hashem Oshiyana, Ana Hashem Atzlichana. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, they wouldn't say, Ana Hashem Oshiyana, Ana Hashem Atzlichana, rather they would say, Ani Vaho Hoshiyana. That the phrase they would use was Ani Vaho Hoshiyana. Rashi says, what's Ani Vaho? Where does that come from? So Rashi says, Begematria Ana Hashem. Ani Vaho is the same gematria as Ana Hashem. And then he says, Va'od Mishiv Mushtaim Shemos Hein Hanukuvim B'Shalosh Mekros Asmuchim Parshvei B'Shalosh. He gets into a whole difficult explanation of how you can derive Ani Vaho from the various Shemos of Hashem. Whatever it is, that somehow this relates to the Shem Hashem on a very high level. Va'osai, back in the Mishnah, Va'osai Yom Makifin Es HaMizbeach Sheva Pa'amim. But on that day, they would go around the Mizbeach seven times. What's that day? Anyone know? That day? Hashanah Rabbah, the seventh day of Sukkot. Hashanah Rabbah, the last day of Sukkot before Shemini Atzeres. That day, which is the Iker day of Arava, they would go around seven times. B'shas p'tiras and mahin omrim. When they were leaving the Mizbeach, what did they say? How did they take leave of the Mizbeach? So they would say, Yofi lach Mizbeach, Yofi lach Mizbeach. Beauty is to you, Mizbeach. How beautiful for you, Mizbeach. Rabbi Lazar says they would say, Leiv lach Mizbeach, Lei v'lach mizbeach. What does lei mean in Aramaic? To him. So lei, to him, and lach, to you, mizbeach. So who's him? Hashem. So to Hashem and to you, mizbeach. All this service was for Hashem and for you. So k'maseu b'chol kach maseu b'shabbos. And the same thing they would do on a weekday, they would do on Shabbos as well, meaning if Hoshana Rabbah came out on Shabbos, it was the same deal. The only thing is, they would pick the aravos from Erev Shabbos. They wouldn't pick them on Shabbos because you're not allowed to pick them on Shabbos. And they would keep them in golden pots or golden whatever you want to call it, bowls, in order that they shouldn't wither. Rabbi Yochanan Bebroka Omar Chorio Shaldekel Hayumavien V'Chovtin Osan Bekarka B'Tzidei Mizbeach. So Rabbi Yochanan Bebroka says that they would bring Chorio Shaldekel. What's a dekel? A palm tree. So what are the branches of a palm tree? Lulavim, right? They would bring actual lulavim and they would hit him down on the side, on the karka, on the ground next to the mizbeach. Va'osa Yom Nikra Chibut Chorios, and they would call that day the day of the beating of the lulavim. And then, so what do they do? Every other day they would walk around once. On Hoshana Rabbah they would walk around seven times. They would have these massive aravos that were standing up next to the Mizbeach, and the tops of the aravos were leaning over the Mizbeach. And in addition to that, Rabbi Yochanan Bebroka says they would also take lulavim and smack them on the karka next to the Mizbeach. And then miyad tinokel shomtin asula, and we also said how they said goodbye to the mizbeach, either yofilach mizbeach or levelach mizbeach. Then miyad tinokel shomtin asulvein va'ochlen esrogein. So there are two ways to read that line. How do you think we should read that line? Miyad tinokel shomtin asulvein va'ochlen esrogein. What does miyad mean? It could either mean right away, or it could mean from the hands. So there are two ways to read this line. Either from the hands of the children, they would take away the lulavim and they would eat their esrogim. So they would take away the children's lulavim and they would eat the children's esrogim as a way of saying, look, we're done with this holiday, we're done with the dalad minim, now let's get rid of them. And that was like their cute way of doing it, was by terrorizing little children. Or, as the way Tosfos says it, is miyad, that right away tinoko shomtin esrogein, the kids would throw their lulavim down va'ochel esrogein, and the kids would eat their own esrogim. So less terrorizing, says Rashi. What does Rashi say? How does Rashi understand it? Miyad tinoko shomtin esrogein hagdolim shomtin esulavei aktanim miyada b'shvi'i. The adults would take away the lulavim of the children from their hands on the seventh day va'ochel esrogein shel tinokos. And the adults would eat the children's esrogim. Ve'ein bedavar lo mishum gezel, says Rashi, don't worry, it's not stealing. Ve'lo mishum darkei shalom, it's not a problem of not keeping the peace by terrorizing little children. Shekach nagu machmas simcha, because you know, it was all good fun, everyone's just having a good time. This Rashi is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Where in Shulchan Aruch do you think this is quoted? That you could do terrorizing things when it's all in good fun? Hilchos Purim, exactly. A little more leeway in what you're allowed to do, in what's acceptable social normal behavior on Purim than there is during the rest of the year. So anyway, so that's an important Rashi. Okay, first main point, two main points on this Mishnah. First one, the procedure for the mitzvahs arava is described in the Mishnah. On the last day they circled seven times and said to the Mizbeach, either Yofilach or Levilach. And the procedure for Mitzvah Sarava, on the last day they would circle the Mizbeach seven times, and they said to the Mizbeach, either Yofilach or Levilach. Number two, at the end, they'd take the lulavim away from the kids and eat the esrogim. Let's assume like Rashi. They would take the lulavim away from the children and they would eat the children's esrogim. All in good fun. Good. Says the Gemara. So what does the first line of the Mishnah say? The first line of the Mishnah said that where would they get these nice, beautiful, humongous aravos that would stand up next to the Mizbeach? They would get them from a place called Motza. So says the Gemara, Tana Makom Klan Yehava. The place they would get them from was a place that was exempt from taxes. Kalanya means, Rashi says, Ben Chorin. It was a free place. Min Amas Shel Melech, from the taxes of the king. V'tana Didan, my time akari le Motza. So if it's called Klanya, why would they call it Motza? Where does Motza come from? So what do you think Motza sounds like? What is Yotze, to be go out from the category of a taxable community? Aydi de Mepek Mikari Gedemalka, since it's excluded from the taxes of the king, Kari Le Motza. It's called Motza as that which is excluded, that which is taken out. Fine. Then we said that they took these giant aravos and they stood them up next to the mizbeach. Tana, rabos va'aruchos ugvos acharasar ama. They were very big, they were long, and they were 11 amos tall. Kedeshe gochos al mizbeach ama. They had to be 11 amos tall in order to lean over one ama on the mizbeach. Why? How tall was the mizbeach? So the Mizbeach was 10 amos counting the chronos. But the chronos of the Mizbeach, or the corner pieces, were only one amma by one amma. So if you were leaning them up against the Mizbeach, not where the chronos were, it was actually only 9 amos high, because it was one amma base, then 5 amos of sovev, and then 3 amos on top of that. And that, so 1 plus 5 plus 3 is 9. And then on the top, in the four corners, they'd have a little one amma cube on the four corners. You know what the Mizbeach looks like? Am I speaking a different language? The Mizbeach, okay. I didn't bring my blocks tonight, but give me a box of pens right there. Beautiful. Okay, so not drawn to scale, but this is one amma high, then you go one amma in, five amos high, one amma in, three amos high, and then you have the whole top of the mizbeach, and on top of the mizbeach, there were, like in each of the corners, there was a little cube of one amma by one amma. Cube here, cube there, right? So when they were leaning up these aravos against the mizbeach, what did they have? They would put them on the floor and lean them up over there, and it had to hit the top of the, go an amma onto the mizbeach. So how tall did they have to be? If they were, so if it's got to go up a height of nine amos and go in a little bit, a couple of amos, so in order for it to lean over the mizbeach by an amma, it needed to be 11. Why 11? Shouldn't it be 10? 9 plus 1 is 10, right? So you have to give a little space for the going in, because it was a couple of amos in, right? So what do you call it? The slope, right? You got to give a little bit of space for the slope. So it doesn't really calculate probably exactly for those math minds to exactly, yeah, you can take your pen back, that's okay, to calculate exactly to 11 amos, but close enough, meaning roughly 11 amos they would need it to be. Maremar said in the name of Marzutra, no, they didn't place the aravos on the floor next to the mizbeach. They placed the aravos on the yesod mizbeach. The yesod is here. It's one amma up after the mizbeach starts. That's where they would place it. Because if you were to think they would place them on the ground, michti. Well, let's try to figure this out. You go up one amma, in one amma. That's the yesod of the mizbeach, right? You go up five amos, in one amma, that's the sovev. And then, Allah shalosh, go up three, zeu makom akranos. And then you're on the top of the mizbeach, where the kranos are going to go in the four corners. So how can an 11 amma thing lean over one amma on the mizbeach? Meaning, the assumption is, to lean over, it's you're dealing with something that's a soft branch. So it's not going to just go at a right angle, like go up to the top of the mizbeach, then right away lay flat on the mizbeach. It's going to, you know, go up and over a little bit. So to lean over, you need a little more height till it leans over, because it's got to go a little bit up and over. So elo lav shmamina, ayisod manachlehu, shmamina. So what do you see? That they didn't place the aravos on the floor next to the mizbeach. Where did they place it? What would you say? On the yesod, right here. This is called the yesod. One amma up on the mizbeach. Good. Main point number three. The aravos were 11 amos tall, leaning over the top of the mizbeach by one amma, with the bottom on the yesod. That's the Gemara's conclusion, that the bottom must have been on the yesod. The aravos were 11 amos tall. They leaned over the top of the mizbeach by one amma, and on the bottom they were resting on the yesod. Their bottom was on the yesod. Yesod of the mizbeach. One amma, yeah. So there's one amma off the ground. There's probably good pictures in the picture books, but don't have it here. Okay. Anyway, good. On we go. Any questions? We're good? Yes?
When they put it on the yesod, it was still
11 amos tall, even though it only needed to go 8 amos up in height and then another amma over, but for the curve, you got a little extra space. What?
Even extra amma curve?
Yeah, whatever. I guess we're rounding up. That's how it safely got to 1 amma over the mizbeach. Fine, says the Gemara. By the way, how wide was the mizbeach? Anyone know? So on the bottom it was 32 amos by 32 amos in most places, in some places actually, because this piece was 30 amos by 30 amos, and then the top piece was 28 amos by 28 amos. So it was a square, it wasn't rectangular. So no, it was massive. What? No, the Mizbeach, in the Mishkan it wasn't like that. In the Mishkan it wasn't like that. In the Batei Mikdash it was always like that. Okay. Good, says the Gemara Vayter. Amar Rabbi Yavo, Maikra, what's the Pasuk? What's the pasuk that tells you that it would have to go above the mizbeach, that the aravos had to lean over the mizbeach? So where do you see that in the Torah? Shenamar isru chag ba'avosim ad karnos hamizbeach. That they would celebrate the chag with avosim. Avosim is a reference to the aravos ad Karnos HaMizbeach, and those Aravos had to reach until the place of the Karnos HaMizbeach. How far in are the Karnos HaMizbeach? They're 1 amma cubes on the corners, so 1 amma in over the Mizbeach. So you see that these branches had to reach 1 amma into the Mizbeach, just like the Karnos HaMizbeach, the Kronos of the Mizbeach are one amma each. Yeah. It's got to be at least 1 amma in. At least 1 amma in, as far as the Kronos go, till they end. Okay, good. Amar Rabbi Avo, Amar Rabbi Lazar. Kala anota lulav bi'iguda v'hadas pa'avoso. Anyone who takes a lulav that is bound up, a lulav with its eged, and a hadas be'avoso. What is it? What's avoso v'hadas? What? Please. No, hadas be'avoso? Anyone know? Enough, it's avos. What do we say? Avos, she'im shulashim. That they're supposed to be like chained, like in threes. Right, if you take a proper lulav and a proper hadas, the Torah is so proud of you that it's as if you built a mizbeach and brought on that mizbeach a karban. Wow, that's really nice. Shenemar isru chag ba'avosim ar karnas ha-mizbeach. Like it says, isru chag, isur also means to tie. So the eged of the lulav, the isru chag be'avosim, plus the avos. What's avos? Anaf eitz avos. The Hadassim. So you have Isru Chag is the Lulav, Ba'avosim is the Lulav of the Nagin, Ba'avosim is the Hadas, Ad Karnos HaMizbeach. It's as if you brought something on the Mizbeach. It's as if you built the Mizbeach and brought a carbon on the Mizbeach. That's how the Gemara is darshaning the Pasuk. Fine. Did we do main point number four? We didn't. Main point number four. Take a Lulav and a Rava properly. It should be Hadassim, not a Rava. Properly. Is like building the mizbeach and bringing a carbon on it. If you take a lulav and hadassim properly, it's like building a mizbeach and bringing a carbon on it. I'm just going to finish off with one more thing, one more part of this point, even though we didn't see it in the Gemara yet. Also, if you celebrate Isru Chag, it's also great. Isru Chag. We're going to see this Gemara is going to be the source for Isru Chag. Effie.
The one says you can't like darshan out just different ideas from the same halacha.
You can't darshan two halachos. Over here, there's one halacha and one just idea, nice thing. It's a gadik concept. Because Adrabba, the Shivim Panim LaTorah, right? There are so many different things you can darshan from every kutzo shel yud. Every little crown on the letters, Rabbi Akiva was able to darshan tilei tilim shel halachos. Okay, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Rabbi Yirmiyah says the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Rabbi Yochanan mishum Rabbi Shimon amachuzi mishum Rabbi Yochanan amakusi. And Rabbi Yochanan says in the name of Rabbi Shimon amachuzi in the name of Rabbi Yochanan amakusi. Kala osi isu lechag ba'achil v'shtia mala lavakasav kilu banam isbeach v'ikrav alav karban. Anyone who makes an isur for the chag, what is an isur? So Rashi says, aguda, a gathering for the chag by eating and drinking, meaning you celebrate the yontif properly. It's as if you built the mizbeach, vikrav alav karban, and you brought a karban on. Shenemar, isru chag, ba'avosim ar karnas ha-mizbeach. That an isru chag is like at karnas ha-mizbeach. It's as if you brought something on the mizbeach. And then Rashi says, if you look at the fourth line of Rashi, he says, v'yesh omrim. But some say Isr al-Chag doesn't mean a celebration for the Chag. What does it mean? Yom Shela Achar HaChag. The day after the Chag. Why is the day after the Chag called an Isr al-Chag? What's an Isr? So it either means something forbidden, which it doesn't mean over here. So gathering or tying. Very good. So you want to tie together to... What? I said gathering before. Yeah, I'm just seeing if you're listening. So it also means to tie, right? Like an eged. So you want to tie the chag down and not let it leave. That's the idea of Isru Chag. Now we don't want the chag to go away so fast. We're tying it down. Stay, please, stay, don't go. It's like if you have a friend over at your house, and like sometimes when you have a friend over at your house and like he's like, you know, making the motion like he's getting ready to leave. So sometimes you're like, you know, if it's a really good friend, then you're, no, it's okay, stay, whatever, you know, no problem, stay as long as you want. You don't have to feel pressure. And sometimes it's like, oh, can I get you your coat? You know, so how do you treat the yontif? Is it, can I get you your coat, or is it, please stay? So that's the, I mean, not that it's, you shouldn't assume anytime someone offers to get you their to get you your coat that they want you out. So maybe sometimes they're really being nice, but you know how it is. Okay. Right. Good. Amar Chizkiya, Amar Yirmiyah. We're about to have three explanations in the Gemara for the concept of Atzei Shittim Omdin. The Torah describes special shittim wood that was omed. So the Gemara is going to describe three possibilities what it means. Amar Chizkiya, Amar Yirmiyah, Mishum Rishim Mechai. Kala mitzvos kulanein adam yotzi ben ela derech kedilasan. Shenemar Atzei Shittim Omdin. All mitzvos, if you want to be yotzei the mitzvah, you can only be yotzei the mitzvah if you hold them upright. Derech kedilasan. The way that they grow, upright. That's a nice concept. Like what? Where do we have this example early in the Masechta? Lulav, and particularly Esrog. When we pick up our Esrog, we pick it up upside down. Why? Because we're trying to not get the mitzvah until after the bracha. As long as it's upside down, we're not getting the mitzvah. You need to hold it derech kedilasan. How do I know? Because they said the Atzei Shittim were omdim. They would make them stand up. They have to stand up. Yeah. Yeah, so derech kedilasan is defined as the part that's connected to the tree is considered the bottom. The part that's furthest from the tree is considered the top, because otherwise, Rav Shechter said in Shir once, otherwise, if let's say I get a lulav from China, or an esrog from China, right, so it's on the other side of the world, it's upside down for me, so like, should I carry it a different way? So obviously that's ridiculous, you wouldn't carry it a different way. So you have to define it objectively, that whatever is attached to the tree, that's considered the bottom, and the part that's furthest from the being attached to the tree is considered the top. Good. So Tanya Namihachi, I should have asked you for that abbreviation, sorry. Tanya Namihachi, you have a Bryce that says this way, Atzei Shittim Omdim, Sha'omdim Derech Kedilasan. Atzei Shittim Omdim means that they stand up in their normal way, that you have to stand them up in their normal way, right side up. Second explanation, Davar Acher, Omdim Shema Amidines Tzipuyan, that they help to stand up their plating. This wood was plated with gold. So the gold plating only stands as a result of the wood that it's covering. Good? Number three, Davar Acher, Omdim Shema Tomar Ovad Sivram Abatal Sikuyan. Omdim means, you might have thought that all of these parts of the Mishkan and the Mikdash, that they're all gone. They're long gone. Tamalomar Atzei Shittim Omdim, Sha'omdim Li'olam Li'olam Li'olamim. Atzei Shittim Omdim is there to tell you, all those things in the Mikdash, they're around. They're somewhere. We just don't know exactly where they are, but they're still around. And when we build the third base of Mikdash, we can bring them back. We're going to find them. Mishkan, rather. The stuff from the Mishkan is there forever. So again, main point number one. Three explanations of Atzei Shittim Omdin. What does Omdin mean? Number one, no, give it to me. A. You weren't raising your hand? Okay. What are they? Three explanations. A. Come on. You were all here. Derek and the Osan. You have to hold it right side up. That all mitzvahs have to be held right side up. Very good, Yoshi. B. Yoshi again. Good, that they hold up their plating. For those listening to the recording, Yoshi is not the only one here. See, that when they lined it with gold, they like plated it with gold on the outside, the plating itself couldn't stand, it was too thin, only as a result of the wood that it was covering, that they held up their plating. And number... Yeah, you got it? So the plating itself was too thin and went to stood on its own. It's only as a result of the wood that it was attached to that it stood up. And see? Effie? Good, that all the stuff from the Mishkan is still around somewhere. Alright, so what's Machon HaMikdash doing by building all these kelim? Okay. They have other marmakomos that tell us that. Yeah, you can always find steers in Chazal. Okay. By the way, on this daf, we're going to see on this amud there are three major statements of Chizkiya. So the first major statement of Chizkiya was that all the mitzvahs have to be held upright. Now we're going to have a second major statement of Chizkiya. Ve'omar Chizkiya, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah Mishum Rabbi Shimon. They're all Amar Chizkiya, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Not just Chizkiya. Chizkiya and the name of Shem Bar Yochai. And they have nothing to do with each other. The reason that they're all quoted is that Talmud Bavli works sometimes. We quote a Chizkiya b'shem Rabbi Yirmi b'shem Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, so we mention everything Chizkiya ever said in the name of Rabbi Yirmi and the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Or many things Chizkiya said in the name of Rabbi Yirmi and the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So v'amar Chizkiya Rabbi Yirmi b'shem Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Yochla ni liftar eskol olam kulo min adin miyom shenivrei siyadata. I have the ability to exempt the entire world from God's strict justice from the day that I was created until now, from the day of my birth until now. Any sins that happen in this world, my zechuyos are good enough to outweigh all of those sins and to be able to save everybody from God's strict justice. Vilmali Eliezer bini imi, and if I just had the help of my son Eliezer, who's talking? Who's this in the name of? Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. So what's he talking about? Who's Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? Well, what are his zechuyos? What did he do that was really awesome and cool and like he stayed in the cave for all those years? With who? With his son. Ah, Elmali Eliezer bini imi. If my son Eliezer was with me, miyom shenivra olam v'ad achshav. Our zechuyos would be enough together, but only if we're together, not if we're separate. Imi, together, to outweigh, to undo midas hadin from the entire history of the world. Vilmola Yosef ben Uziyahu imanu. Oh, and if we hit the trifecta, we get Yosef ben Uziyahu along with us. Miyom shenivra olam at sofo. Then it wouldn't just be from the beginning of history until our days; it would be from the beginning of history till the end of time. Why didn't they ever get together and like use their zechios for that? I don't know. I don't know what that Gemara even means. Let alone, I don't know what that means. Yeah, we'll wait for the next one if you think that sounded a little arrogant. Vamr Chizkiya, Rabbi Yirmi, Shem Rabbi Shimon Yochai. Chizkiya said the name of Rabbi Yirmi, the name of Shem Rabbi Yochai. Reisi b'nei Aliyah v'ein Muatin. I've seen people of high stature, and they are few. There aren't many of them. Im Elef Hein, if there's a top 1,000 list somewhere, Aniu b'nei Mehen. Me and my son are both on the list. Im Me'ahim, if there's a top 100 list, Aniu b'nei Mehen. My son and I are on that list too. If there's a top 2 list, Aniu b'ni Hain, that list is comprised of me and my son. So says the Gemara. I don't know what to make of this Gemara. It's Bekiyas. We could ignore it. I mean, not ignore it. We could just like remember it and like figure out some nice pshat in it later. Umi zutri kulehai. Are there really so few great people? Are there so few b'nei Aliyah? V'hamar Rava, didn't Rava tell us Tim Nisrei Alfi Dara Havadikami Kutcher Brichu? There are 18,000 rows of people in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar Saviv Shmona Esar Elef. Pasuk says Saviv Shmona Esar Elef. 18,000 greats, all-time greats that surround HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that are so close to Hashem. Says Gemara Lo Kasha. It's not a kasha. You're right, there are a lot of great people, but he's talking about a higher level. He's talking about the super duper star. He's not talking about an all-star, he's talking about a Hall of Famer. Had the mistakli bas baklari ami'ira, had the lo mistakli bas baklari ami'ira. When he's talking about his list of the few, of the 1,000 or 100, whatever it is, he's talking about people who see God with an asbaklari ami'ira, through a clear glass, with a clear vision. Others are near God, and they see God in some way, but it's aspaklaria she'ena mi'ira. They're not mistakal baspaklaria mi'ira. They don't get to see God with such a clear vision. What? Ah, right. Mi'ira, right. Clear and light, exactly. There you have it. Ah, Baruch Hashem. It's not mi'ira as in cursed. No, it's the light. Very good. Okay. Made Zev happy. Baruch Hashem. Okay, so that's the Aspaklari Amir. It's interesting because normally we assume that the only two people that ever saw Kadosh Baruch Hu Aspaklari Amir were Bilam Harasha and Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's it's an interesting comment that the Gemara has, that they were able to see God with Aspaklari Amir. So says Gemara, Udemistakli Baspaklari Amir Mizutrikulei. But even so, even if you're going to list it to the, you know, you're going to limit it to the Hall of Famers, to the people who saw God with the Aspaklari Amir, is that list so small? V'ha'amar Abaye, didn't Abaye say Lopachos Alma Mitlasin V'shisa Tzadiki De'mekablei Apishchina B'chol Yom? This is a concept you all heard of since you're little children, and this is the source of this concept. What's this concept the Gemara is referring to? Lamed Vav Tzadikim. Didn't Abaye teach us that the world never has fewer than 36 Tzadikim that greet the Shechina every day? Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Ashrei Kolchochei Lo. And lo, b'gematria tlosin v'shisavu, Lo is a gematria of 36. So Ashrei, fortunate, or Choche Lo, those who hope for or yearn for Lo, the 36 that get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So don't you see, it's not two. There are 36 at all times that see HaKadosh Baruch Hu Basfaklari Yami'ira. Says the Gemara, Lokasha. Hada'ili b'bar, hada'ili b'lo bar. Yeah, but some people need to ask permission. They need to knock before they go and see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those people are the 36. The two are the people who don't even have to knock. They're so comfortable, they just walk in anytime they want. What? Where's what? I think in Newsweek it said this week that the future Queen of England, the future princess, whatever, the one of the princes is getting married. She's not allowed to go in to see the grandmother without a special appointment made in advance. She's not yet part of the family. So there are some people that the prince can go in to see the queen. She's not the queen mom, the queen. Right? He can go in to see the queen whenever he wants. He's a little bit closer. She's not yet married and she still needs to make an appointment to see the grandmother. That's the Eili Lahavdil. Elif Alfa Avdalos. That's the Eili Bibar and Eili Below Bar. Okay. Main point number two and three. So number two. Three statements of Chizkiya in the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah and the name of Shem Yechai. Three statements, Chizkiya, Shem Rabbi Yirmiyah, Shem Rabbi Shem Yechai. A. This first statement, mitzvahs need to be done upright. Derech Kedilasan. It sounds like the way it grows. Derek also sounds like the way it grows. B. What second statement? Good. That he could exempt the world from din through his sons Yosam's his/sons/Yosam's zechuyos, depending how much din he's exempting from. Right? On his own, he could exempt the world from din for his lifetime. With his son, he could exempt the world from din from the beginning of creation till his lifetime. And with Yosef and Uziyahu together with them, he can exempt the world from din from the beginning of time till the end of time. So again, the way I have it marked down in my Gemara is, could exempt the world from din through his/sons/Yosef's zechuyos. No, it's the combination that, right? The sum is greater, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. The sum is not greater than the whole of its parts. Yes. What?
How does he know that he's that first?
I don't know how he knows any of this. I don't know. I mean, I really do know. I'm just not allowed to tell you. Okay, main point number three. Oh, C, I'm sorry. C. He and his son are the only B'nai Aliyah. He broke it to us a little slower than that by saying if there were 1,000, we're in the 1,000 list, we're on the 100 list, guess what, we're on the 2 list also. He and his son are the only B'nai Aliyah. Number three, many tzaddikim surround Hashem. 36 see him bas paklari ha-me'ira. Very few enter without Rishus. So again, many tzaddikim surround Hashem, 18,000 surround Hashem. 36 see him with clarity. But very few, perhaps only two, can come in whenever they want, can enter without Rishus. Shane Min.
They say that like the top two, this is like the time, like now. I mean, like,
this is Ra'isi, I've seen. So it sounds like during his time. And the Lamed Vav is also at each time, during each generation. So you'd imagine that it's at each time. Yeah, that's what you'd imagine. Okay, Vaiter in the Gemara. Where are we? Two dots. B'shas p'tirasa mayin omrim. So when they would leave the Mizbeach, what would they say to the Mizbeach on their way out? So we had two opinions in the Mishnah. Either they would say, Yofi lach Mizbeach, or Leiv lach Mizbeach. So b'shas p'tirasa mayin omrim, v'hako b'shtatif shem shemayim v'davarach, ask the Gemara, how could they say, Leiv lach Mizbeach? That is combining the Shem Hashem with something else. That's like saying, yeah, our two gods, Hashem and the Mizbeach. God forbid, I'm... Right, literally, God forbid. You're not allowed to say that, right? That's apikorsis. So how could you be mishtatev, shem shemayim, v'davar achad? That is like believing in a trinity. You're not allowed to believe in a shituf. It's the second of the Ten Commandments. V'tanya, we have a brisa called Mishati. There's a question whether Goyim are allowed to believe in the Trinity. That's a major discussion in the Pesukim. V'tanya, we have a brisa called Mishati, Shem Shemayim V'dover Acher, Nekar Min Olam. Anyone who combines Hashem with something else is going to be uprooted from the world. Shenemar Bilti L'Hashem Levado. That it's all Hashem only. Question mark. Sahachi Kamar. This is what the Mishnah really meant to say. Lei Anachnu Modim. To him we are thankful. Ulecha Anu Mishapchin. And to you, the Mizbeach, we praise. Meaning we know that our thanks belongs to Hashem, but we're just praising the ability to serve Him through the Mizbeach. Lei Anachnu Modim. It is to Him that we are Moda, that He is our God. Ulecha Anu Mekalsin. But we're going to say some nice things about you, Mizbeach, also. It's like you're allowed to say thank you to someone who does something nice for you, even though you know everything good that you have ultimately comes from Hashem. Right? That person was the vehicle through which it came. So the Mizbeach was the vehicle through which you're able to serve Hashem, but you know that Hashem is really your God. Vayter. Kimaseil b'chol, so we said the same way you would do it on a weekday, you would do it on Shabbos, except the one difference is, on Shabbos you can't pick the Aravos. Amar Rav Huna, my time is Rabbi Yochum ben Baroka. What's the reason of Rabbi Yochum ben Baroka? What did Rabbi Yochum ben Baroka say? Remembers? He's the one that said they would take the lulav branches and they would beat down with the lulav branches on the ground. So what was the reason for Rabbi Yochum ben Baroka? Dechsiv kapos shnayim. It says kapos tamarim when it describes lulav. Kapos is plural. Sounds like it's got to be two. Why do you need two lulavim? Achas lulav, yachas mizbeach. One for the mitzvah of lulav and one to beat down next to the mizbeach. V'rabbanan Amri, the Rabbanan will say, no, kapas ksiv. Even though it's pronounced kapos tamarim, it's spelled without a vav as if it were singular. Oh, so Melman's turning pages. We had, good. Rabbi Levi Amar, Rabbi Levi says, Kitamar. Ma tamar ze in lo el levechad, af Yisrael in lohem el levechad, avim shavashamayim. What's the symbolism of the lulav? We want to use the lulav to show that just like a date has how many pits in a date? Only one. One giant pit in a date. One heart. Just like a date has only one heart, so too Klal Yisrael is only one heart for Hashem. We only have eyes for Hashem. We only have a heart for Hashem. That's the symbolism of the lulav. That's why they would use the lulav. Either it's based on the pasuk of kapos, or it's just based on the svara that we're trying to symbolize the one heart that we have for Hashem. A little weiter. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Lulav Shiva, actually, main point number four first. Rabbi Yochum Baroka is either based on the word kapos in the pasuk, or the symbolism of Lev Echad. Again, it's either a pasuk or a svara that he gets the idea to bang a lulav next to the mizbeach. Either based on kapos in plural, or based on the idea of Lev Echad. That just like a date is one heart, we also have only one heart for God. But I'm not sure. Neither of them doesn't say about either one really what they're about. They're not about banging. Just that you have them, you include them as some extra mitzvah. Right. So over here also, you're doing it to show on this day that we show this great love of God, the celebration of the symbols of Shueva, which we're going to learn about soon in the fifth parak. Or we learned about already. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Lulav Shiva V'Sukkah Yom Echad Mai Taima. Why is it? Why is it that Lulav we make a bracha on? What are we asking? Lulav for 7 days and Sukkah for only 1 day. What's the reason that we have Lulav for 7 days and Sukkah for only 1 day? I think the Gemara is going to ask what that means. I hope. I don't know. I haven't seen this Gemara. Okay, says the Gemara, lulav. I think it's about the bracha. Why is it that we make a bracha on the lulav for all 7 days, but if you go into your sukkah and never leave, how many brachas do you make on sukkah? If you go into your sukkah and never leave, one. So why is it that by lulav, even if you carry lulav all the time, you have to make a new bracha every day? But sukkah, you go into the sukkah and never leave, you only make one bracha. So lulav demafski leilos miyamim, lulav, where each night you become unchayiv, you become pater, your chayiv goes away. So kol yom a mitzvah babi nafshu. So each day is a brand new mitzvah. Brand new mitzvah requires brand new bracha. Sukkah d'lamiski leilus miyamim kulu shiva kachad yom arichadamu. Sukkah where the days and the nights are not separated from each other, so all 7 days are like one long day. Meaning you chayiv at night also, so it's like one long day. V'rabba barbachana am Rabbi Yochanan, sukkah shiva v'lulav yom echad, my taima. why is it that Sukkah is 7 days and Lulav is only 1 day? Meaning, why is, I mean, he understands it the other way. That Lulav, really, you only on a Daraisa level, you only have to take for 1 day. Sukkah, you do all 7 days. So Sukkah Daraisa Shiva, Lulav Darabanan Sagi Levichad Yoma. Sukkah, which is Daraisa for all 7 days, you need a bracha on each of the 7 days. Lulav, which is only Daraisa the first day, you only need to make a bracha the first day. That's what he held. Ki Asa Ravin Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Echadzev Echadzev Shiva. Ravin said the name of Rabbi Yochanan. No, you make a bracha on Sukkah for all 7 days and a bracha on Lulav for all 7 days. So basically, the way it breaks down, and this is your final main point of the night, and this is where I'm going to end. Actually, let's read one more line. Amar Rav Yosef Nekot Deraba Barbachana Biyadcha Dekulu Amarai Kaimi Kavasei B'Sukkah. You should follow Rabba Barbachana's opinion because everyone holds like him in regards to Sukkah. That Sukkah is for 7 days. Okay? So now, here we go. Three opinions how often to say a bracha on Lulav and Sukkah. Three opinions how often to say a bracha on Lulav and Sukkah. A. Lulav for 7, Sukkah for 1. B. Lulav for 1, Sukkah for 7. C. Lulav and Sukkah both for 7. So again, A. Lulav for 7, Sukkah for 1. B, the reverse, Lulav for 1, Sukkah for 7. C, both for 7 days. So that is that. Okay. Yeah.